And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 13. We left off last time in verse number 9, and in these first 9 verses, the Lord Jesus is speaking in a parable to the multitude about the sower and the ground upon which that he sows. Now, the sower has got the seed, and I kind of see him as a broadcasting kind of sower. He's got his seed in a bag that's draped, strapped and draped over his shoulder. He's reaching into that bag, and very skillfully as he walks, he's sowing the seed in this prepared field. He is so intent about sowing the seed in this prepared field that some of the seed falls over on the road right there by the edge of the field. The field's got to stop somewhere, doesn't it? And on one edge of it is the road. And then down in my mind, I envision this field. Down at the end is the field is a place where all the rocks have been taken over the course of the years and decades, and rocks taken out of the field. And that's just the place where you pile up the rocks. And his intention to get the field that has been prepared and get it sowed very well, some of the seeds go over into the rocks. And down there, also at the end of the field, is a place where the briars and the brambles are growing. And it's just the place that's not been prepared, where the weeds are tall there and they grow and they thrive. And it's just, there's always got to be the edge of the field, doesn't there? And so some of the seed that he sows goes over into that area too. The road, the stony area, the places where the weeds and the brambles grow and the briars grow, and then the field itself, the field that has been prepared. So he's sowing the seed, pardon me, and he says, what goes onto the road, the birds come and eat it up. They can see it. The seed can't do anything there. And the birds see it, and they come and they eat it up. Over there in the rocks, the seed will spring up, but because it's so rocky and stony, it just can't get a root, can't get any traction to grow. And when the heat gets strong and the sun gets high and the water has just not been able to come to that plant because of the stony ground and no tap root, it withers up and goes away, dries up. And then there's that falls in amongst those thorns and brambles and briars and tall grass. And you know what happens there? All that stuff grows faster, and it chokes it all out. It just can't grow. It can't get ahead of that competitive stuff that is just wild and growing. But then there's the prepared field. You know what happens there? For every seed that is sown, there's a multiplication. The seed grows and gets down in that good ground there prepared by the sower. The seed is sown into that good ground, and the Lord waters it with the rain. And you know what? That one seed will bring a multiplication. One kernel of corn will bring a corn stalk and have several ears of corn on it. One grain of wheat, kernel of wheat, will grow up into a wheat plant and have a head on it with a number of grains on it. There's always a multiplication. The Lord says some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Multiplication always. We don't ever, and the Lord's design is never one for one. The Lord says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples, they asked the Lord a question and said, why do you speak to the multitude in parables? And the Lord declares unto them that it is given to them, the Lord's children, to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to the multitude it is not. So the Lord takes a parable, and it's kind of a twofold affair. He speaks in a parable that folks being told the truth would not comprehend what's being met. Unless the Spirit of God gets involved, and the Spirit of God, for those that are saved, or the working of the Spirit of God in a sinner that he is saving, he is working and in and convicting and saving, that they're brought to understanding, and they see this spiritual mystery that is at hand. And he said, it's not given to them to know, but it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. In verse number 12, the Lord tells his disciples, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. That's the way it is with those that are saved. And that's the reason it's so important to be saved. Because the children of God, and the Lord provides stuff for life, but the greatest need and the greatest necessity of a person is not to be wealthy in this world, but to be wealthy in the Lord and eternal things, in the salvation of the soul, and the forgiveness of sins, and the granting of everlasting life by the Lord. All those are the true riches. The blessing of the Lord keeping his child in the course of life, the rest of life that he has given unto us, to walk with the Lord, to have this old flesh contained and mortified, that it might be used to serve and worship the Lord, when by its own depravity and nature, all it wants to do is do everything that is contrary to the Lord. So, for the children of God, they've been given and more will be given. But for those that don't have the Lord as Savior, oh, they may live a very prosperous and wealthy life in this earth. But in the end, they will have nothing. Not even life on this earth will they have for eternity. That will be taken away. The place of the unrepentant and the unbelieving sinner is a place of torment and destruction. It is the righteous indignation of God upon unbelieving and unrepentant sinners. It is God's place. It is not Satan's place of torment of sinners. It is God's place of righteous judgment upon the unbelieving and unrepentant. And it says there, it's the place, the lake of fire is the place of the second death, even life. The basic element of life on this earth, the unrepentant and unbelieving will not even have that. Not even have that. Separation from God, separation from everyone, tormenting in a place and a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, multitudes crammed into the place, but yet every person alone. Oh, the Lord tells it. He tells the truth. From him shall be taken away even that he hath. Or as it says over in the Gospel of Luke, that he seemeth to have. We enjoy life, and we've been created and given the blessing, and we desire to live. It's in us to live. The thing is just because that we enjoy living and we are used to living and there is a continuance of years and decades in our life doesn't mean it will always be that way. And people live in this life physically, and they think that there's just going to be some, without the Lord, they think that there's just going to be some miracle thing at the end. No. Eternity is determined on this side. Do you have Jesus, God's Savior, as your Savior? He goes on to say here, therefore speak I unto them in parables, verse 13, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. He said, I lay it out for them in parables, but they just don't get it. Do you want to understand the parables of the Lord? Do you want to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God? And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed the willfulness of man. If you closed your eyes and your heart to the things of the Lord, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Salvation. Oh, sinner, you need the salvation of the Lord desperately. And your natural will is to go against him and despise him, looking on at the greatness and the power and the magnificent work of the Lord. Oh, don't despise him. I pray that if you're under the hearing of my voice and this word of God coming to you, that you would see that you need the Lord, that you would repent of your sins. You'd cry out unto him for mercy to help you to see and to understand your need and the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ability to save. Verse 16, he says to his children here, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And a blessing indeed it is. It is a blessing indeed to see. It is a blessing indeed to hear. Are you hearing these words of the Lord Jesus, and are they making you angry? Or are you angered because you are subject to him in this way? Or do you have a desire to hear from the Lord, to know the mysteries of the kingdom, and to know the need of your soul, and to know the blessing and the mystery of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ? Not by works of righteousness that you can do, but by the salvation of the Lord, by the blood, the shed blood of the Lord, by the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need him. But blessed are your eyes, verse 16, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Many before you wanted to see what you're seeing. Many before you wanted to see and understand the manifestation, the coming of the Lord's salvation. They knew that the salvation of the Lord was coming. They knew that the Lord had promised it. The Old Testament scriptures point to it, hint about it, tell aspects and pieces and parts about it. But they wanted to see the whole. And you're able to see the whole. And who is the whole? The whole of the Lord's salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is him. It is him, him indeed. Well, see that our time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com.
or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.